Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking OTAs that wrap up today in Green Bay. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the line this morning. We have Evan Tex Western of Acme Packing Company joining us to talk a little Packers football. Evan, how you doing this morning?
Hey, can't complain. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Let's talk a little Packers football here, Evan. Organized team activities, last day of it in Green Bay. In your opinion, Evan, what's kind of stood out to you over the course of the past month or so as the Packers have worked their way through their off-season program? Is there any players that caught your eye or anything in general that you just want to air your mind about?
Well, I think the first thing that's on everybody's mind is thank God there have been no major injuries. You know, we've been seeing a couple guys around the league dropping like flies. You got Sean Lee in Dallas, Sean Weatherspoon in Atlanta. You know, I'm just grateful that that all the Packers players seem to be progressing through practices in one piece and healthy, and that we haven't heard anything serious come out on an injury perspective. So that's the first thing that I've been worried about more than anything else, honestly.
Yeah, that certainly is good news to me. I mean, that's about all you can ask for, I think, during organized team activities when there's no pads, there's no hitting. Nobody can really stand out like a ton in that kind of practice format. So I take that as good news. Yesterday, it was announced the Packers signed a pair of rookies, Davante Adams and Richard Rodgers. The Packers have their entire rookie class signed now. Just for fun, Evan, let's kind of take each of these guys who just signed their contracts. What do you expect out of them? Let's start with Davante Adams. What are you hoping to see out of him? What are you kind of hoping that the role he'll play in the Packers offense this year?
Well, I'm hoping that he doesn't have to do anything more than be a fourth receiver. You know, with the way Jarrett Boykin played towards the end of the year last year, I'm really hoping he continues his development and really takes hold of that third receiver spot on opposite Jordy Nelson and with Randall Cobb. So I'm hoping that Adams, you know, kind of has a little bit of time to grow in this coming season. You know, thinking back, obviously, to, you know, Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, and James Jones, and how they were kind of eased into the offense early on in their careers as well. So I'm not looking for, you know, necessarily any particular stat line or anything. I don't expect to see, you know, Adams break out for 800, 1,000 yards or anything like that. But, you know, if he can make some tough catches, use that athleticism and that great leaping ability that he's got, he could maybe become a little bit of a weapon in the red zone. I think that's really the progression that you want to see. You want to see flashes of his ability, and you want to see him contribute when he gets some opportunities, but you'd like to not have to have him be forced into a really big role early on.
Yeah, I agree. Expectations should be modest. It would be great to see him have 1,000 yards, but I don't think the Packers offense necessarily needs it from them as long as other guys are healthy. Richard Rodgers, tight end, third rounder, also signed yesterday. Again, what are you kind of looking for out of Richard Rodgers at a tight end position that, you know, Jermichael Finley isn't back? We have no clue what Colt Lyerla is going to provide, if he'll even make the team, but what do you think Richard Rodgers can do for the Packers?
Well, I kind of think Rodgers, again, to compare it to a player in the past, I think he'll be used a little bit like Finley was his rookie year. You know, bring him along slowly. He'll probably play a lot of special teams early on. And my guess is we'll probably see him split out wide a little bit here and there, especially with his background of playing wide receiver in college at Cal. So I think, again, you work him in a little bit here and there the first half of the season or so, kind of get him up to speed to the NFL game. Let him sit behind Andrew Corliss, and, you know, who'll obviously be doing most of the inline stuff at tight end. And then, you know, maybe you split him out a little bit as an H-back and split out wide, and you get him some passes later on in the season and really kind of get him involved. So another guy that I I think like Adams, you're not going to see a huge, any sort of huge production in his first year or two, but certainly physical skills are there, and it sounds like he's made some nice catches in practice over the last couple of weeks. So I think there's signs of certainly some good skills, and you just kind of hope that he flashes a little bit of that again.
Yeah, with his father being the special teams coach at Carolina for the Panthers, you hope maybe he can make a contribution there for the Packers, and maybe he'll be a little bit more attuned to the special teams part of the game in his rookie year. Another player, Evan, the Packers signed this week, rookie Sean Lewis, a linebacker out of Oklahoma State. Now, the Packers just signed him 2 days ago. I'm not going to rack your brain about his game or anything. But, I mean, for a guy the Packers signed in June, an undrafted rookie, how much of a chance do you think this guy has to make the team? I sit here and I look at him. The reason he probably went unsigned until June, he's like 5'11" and 226 pounds. What kind of chance does a guy that size have of making the Packers roster?
Yeah, I was kind of taken aback myself by his size and speed when I looked at that this week too. And it doesn't, like you said, he doesn't seem to have some of the measurable tools that you might look for in an inside linebacker. But you've seen with some of these guys, I almost think back a little bit to Chris Borland, just in that. He doesn't necessarily have the physical tools you might necessarily look for, but he's got a lot of great production in college. Lewis certainly did. He had put up some really good numbers and a lot of turnover plays. So that's something you kind of look to. And I wouldn't put any sort of a high probability of him making the roster, especially with the couple of established guys that the Packers have at the position. Obviously, Hawk and Jones look like they've got a roster spot on lockdown, and Lattimore obviously would be back. So, he would probably have to beat out Sam Barrington in my eyes to have a shot at a job. And I don't really see that happening, especially with, how the coaching staff has been talking about Barrington and looking forward to seeing him this year. So I think maybe, if he shows you something in training camp, put him on the practice squad, see what he can do a little bit, put him on special teams, and give him a shot that way. But I think definitely it'd be a much more of a long shot, but you could see him as a little bit of a long-term prospect. Maybe spend a year in the practice squad, bulk up a little bit, and then you're kind of maybe to that DJ Smith type of a frame, similar height, get him bulked up a little bit and see what he can do next year.
Yeah, again, talking special teams here, I think for a guy like him, that's his ticket to the roster. If he can just be an absolute demon on special teams, that might be his only way of making the team. And who knows, maybe being small kind of helps him that way, and that he's fast to get downfield. Worth a look, I guess, when your roster is at 90 players. And we're talking to Evan Tex Western of Acme Packing Company here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Mini camp takes place next week. Evan, is there anything you're looking forward to in terms of the last bit of Packers off-season practice this year? It's mandatory as opposed to voluntary for organized team activities. I don't know how much that means, and that the Packers have pretty much a 100% participation as it is. But I mean, is there anything you're looking forward to last week in the final week of mini camp, the Packers off-season program?
Well, one of the guys who has kind of jumped out to me a little bit, especially this week, has been Duane Harris. And I've been on the record over at Acme Packing Company that I didn't expect much out of him last year, especially when Lacey was brought in. Figured Starks would be a kind of a good change of pace, and that kind of proved to be the 1-2 punch when Harris went down with that injury. So coming into this round of OTAs and the off season, I really was expecting little or nothing out of Duane Harris. So if you can get any sort of production out of him, if he can earn a roster spot, which it seems like he's doing everything he can, at least in shorts right now, to do that, then that gives you three very different styles of running backs that you've got to work with. And I think it obviously would give your offense a little bit more versatility. So I'm hoping to see him, put up another couple of nice practices next week. And then the other thing that I'm kind of keeping an eye on is what's going on with the punt returner job. Sounds like Abradaris has really kind of been taking a lot of the first reps with that position in drills over the last couple of weeks. And I think he certainly, with the experience he had doing that at Wisconsin, I think it makes him a logical candidate again to take those reins, hopefully from Micah Hyde. You don't want a guy like him who, obviously, McCarthy has said that he wants him to be on the field for three downs on defense. So you don't want him going out there and returning punts as well. So I think if Abradaris can show the ability he showed at Wisconsin and return punts reliably and show a little bit of shiftiness and production back there doing that, I think that'll be something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's been a pleasant surprise to see him kind of taking the first rep. I don't know how much that means during OTAs, but certainly it means more than nothing, I guess. So that could be a good role for Abradaris. You know, you talked about DeJuan Harris, and it just kind of made me think. We talked earlier about the Packers staying largely injury-free, but talking about guys who maybe have some existing injuries that haven't practiced during OTAs, is there any level of concern in your mind with a guy like Jonathan Franklin, like Andrew Corliss? These guys have not even practiced during organized team activities. They come in off of, you know, various different types of injuries, suffered at various lengths of go. Any concern with these kind of guys who haven't practiced yet this off season?
Well, my gut tells me that, you know, if a couple of them were practicing and a couple of them were not, that I'd be more concerned about the guys who weren't. Mm-hmm. But for me, the fact that they're basically holding everybody out of OTA practices who's got really any semblance of injury that they're coming back off of, that's making me think that that's not really too big of a concern. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine, you know, you think a guy like Clay Matthews, similar kind of thing. You want him to recover as much as humanly possible. And we've seen, like I said, with some of the guys who've been getting hurt in OTAs around the league, you don't want to take any chances that you don't have to. And I think that's just one of those things where if you've got a player coming off some sort of injury, that's one of the ways that the Packers are trying to mitigate that injury risk and the risk of re-injury. So, my gut tells me that there's nothing we really need to be concerned about right now. And I wouldn't really be too worried until they start missing practices in training camp in late July or August.
Makes sense to me. Last question here, Evan, before I let you go. This will be a doozy to end with. Brett Favre yesterday conducts an interview with Sirius XM NFL Radio, satellite radio, basically echoing the same sentiments he's made ever since leaving the Packers. He's very proud of his time with the Packers. But he doesn't think he ever made the wrong decision in leaving the organization. He says it's bound to happen that he comes back to Green Bay. What is your whole reaction, your whole take on Brett Favre? Should they retire his number? You know, should they welcome him back into the fold? What's your opinion on the situation?
Well, overall, I think enough time has passed that the initial reactions to how everything went down several years ago are beyond me. And from my perspective, I can look back now and I'm not going to think of, you know, Favre leaving the way he did and ending up in Minnesota. I can look back at and think of his game after his dad died and leading the Packers to the Super Bowl win in New Orleans. And I guess I'm feeling far enough removed from the painful kind of breakup that I can start thinking back on the positive memories. And I'm hoping that Packer fans in general are kind of taking that opinion, because that guy did so much for this franchise. And I think it's time. I think that the time is well upon us at this point that, you know, retire the guy's number, just get the drama over with, and let's just kind of let everybody move on.
Fair enough. That's definitely a level-headed approach to the situation, I'd say. But Evan, thank you so much for joining us, talking a little Packers football here on a Friday morning. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and we'll do it again sometime.
Sounds great. Thanks again for having me.
All right, take care. Tex Evan Western on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central, representing AcmePackingCompany.com, part of the SB Nation blog network. Talking a little Packers football. Thanks to him. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well. And by all means, if you want, I've posted the Cheesehead TV call-in line. If you want to talk some Packers football during the off-season portion of the program here, if you want to, 347-903-5994. If you want to call in, talk some football, by all means, I'd be happy to. I know some people just are more comfortable discussing matters on social media, kind of our live blog. If you want to discuss things there, that's cool too, whatever you want to do. But like I said, here we are on Friday. It's the final day of organized team activities in Green Bay. Next week is mini camp, and that wraps up the Packers program. So getting near the end here of the off-season portion of the program. Well, I guess we still got some more off-season to go. There's kind of that month lull period between the end of mini camp and the beginning of training camp that we can still consider the off-season. But as far as any practice on-field activities, just one more week of them in Green Bay next week. And then we're wrapping things up until training camp starts up in late July. Packers announced yesterday there will be two practices open to the public next week, next Tuesday and next Thursday. That's June 17th and June 19th. Same as organized team activities. They'll start at 11:30 a.m. Central Time at Ray Nitschke Field. If you happen to live within the area or driving distance of Green Bay, you can check out the Packers practice for free, open to the public, open to the media next week. Not next Wednesday, though. You know, it's kind of reading between the lines. I mean, if you follow the Packers closely, you know that every season during minicamp, under the tenure of head coach Mike McCarthy, the Packers have always kind of had a team building activity, and it varies every year. It's kind of fun the day it happens to see what they do, because they've done various things. They go bowling one year. They have they play dodgeball. They'll and then what was it? I think 2 years ago, maybe even the past 2 years, they went out and did some clay pigeon trap shooting. You know, they're putting firearms into the hands of Green Bay Packers players, but you know, I'm pretty sure it's monitored and they have guys helping them out there. They do something cool every year, and that looks to take place on Wednesday this week, not open to the public. I think it's looking like that's what the Packers will be doing. But if you want to check out practice, check them out Tuesday and Thursday at Ray Nitschke Field for the last time before training camp, last opportunity. You know, I suppose I just wanted to weigh in here on some of the topics I asked Evan about earlier during our interview, some of the things that happened, you know, over the course of this past week, noteworthy items. Yesterday, the Packers signed Davante Adams and Richard Rodgers, as we've already talked about, and get their entire rookie class under contract with those signings. Everybody else from their draft class is signed. Obviously, the undrafted rookies are signed. So everybody's under contract, and you know that's pretty much status quo nowadays. There's ever since the league's new collective bargaining agreement and the rookie salary slotting system that was instituted, there's not much room for negotiation anymore, and thus no more rookie holdouts as there used to be in the NFL, especially with some of the high round draft choices. You know, all those deals kind of ended up getting done right at the eve of training camp or right as they open. You know, I can remember a few guys holding out the first few days of training camp as they negotiated their contracts. Those days are over. It just does, you know. In fact, I don't even know if you want to tell me on the live blog, has anybody in the past 3 years held out a rookie? I know it hasn't happened with the Packers. I guess I couldn't tell you with any certainty. Has it happened anywhere else in the NFL? There is some slight room for negotiation, I know, with these guys in terms of like how much guaranteed money they get, as opposed to having to be on the roster to earn it. You know, and for a lot of guys, it comes down the road. A lot of rookies, you know, are, you know, not all of them, but, you know, a majority of them are on the team's roster their rookie year. Teams don't want to give up on them, you know, too early. So, but anyway, it just, you don't see holdouts anymore. It's just a thing in the past. So it's great that the Packers got all these guys signed. You know, that they could, the rookies can put that behind them, especially Davante Adams and Richard Rodgers, now that they've just signed here on the eve of the last day of OTAs in Green Bay next week during mini camp. They don't have to worry about a contract anymore. They got a nice big signing bonus. I think for Davante Adams, his signing bonus was just over $1 million, and for Richard Rodgers, a third rounder, was just under $1 million. They're getting that money up front as soon as they put pen to paper. That's what a signing bonus is. That's a nice little payday for them that I'm sure they've been looking forward to a long time. Just a little bit of financial security there. Obviously, they'll want to make a whole lot more in their life, but a little bit ease of mind that they can put in the bank, hopefully, and spend any initial money on getting themselves some lodging, some housing for the upcoming season. So congratulations to them for signing their rookie contracts with the Green Bay Packers. And then just this week talked to Evan Western about this as well. Packers signed undrafted rookie Sean Lewis. They filled up their 90-man roster this week. They had actually, it took the Packers a long time, and I actually wrote a little column about it here at Cheesehead TV earlier in the week. Way back on May 28th, the Packers had cut, they had released or waived inside linebacker Victor Aweiwa, that brought the roster down from 90 to 89 players. And so there had been an open roster spot for like 2-3 weeks in Green Bay. I was like, why are they kind of wasting this roster spot? Why don't you just sign someone, sign a rookie, see what you got. And so they finally sign Sean Lewis earlier this week. I think it was Wednesday Tuesday it took place, because he was in for mini camp or OTA practice on Tuesday. And I was kind of jazzed a little bit because I like Sean Lewis from what I've seen out of him at Oklahoma State as a college football player. We talked about, he's kind of got a small frame, 5'11", 226. That's pretty small for an NFL inside linebacker. But I just remember watching this guy, and Oklahoma State has been so good under Mike Gundy the past 4 years. And Sean Lewis has been a big part of that. I mean, here's a guy who's been an all-conference linebacker for them. You know, the type of guy who's, you know, making over 100 tackles a year. And just a playmaker for Oklahoma State. And I can remember just, you know, watching Oklahoma State games and him standing out and him being a good player. So I was kind of excited when the Packers, you know, signed this guy. And, you know, again, expectations have to be modest for a guy who's 5'11", 226, especially a rookie coming into the NFL. Any rookie coming in, expectations should be modest for them. But he's worth a look. I'm glad the Packers filled that last roster spot. Hey, get him involved with the last week of OTAs. Get him involved with minicamp. See what you got. There's no hurt. There's very little financial ramifications. There's very little money lost. As Wes Hodquitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette reported yesterday, he didn't even get a signing bonus from the Packers. So that, you know, there's the risk involved in filling that last roster spot is beyond minimal. Good to see the Packers taking a chance on him. Hey, if it works out, great. If not, no big deal. He's got a lot of competition. The Packers didn't address inside linebacker during the NFL draft, so immediately after the draft was over, they go and sign guys like Joe Thomas out of South Carolina State, like Jake Doughty of Utah State to kind of fill that void. And there's a chance, at inside linebacker, as we discussed earlier, it looks like, A.J. Hawk, Brad Jones, those guys have got roster spots locked up, as does Jamari Lattimore. Sam Barrington, kind of looking at the guy who's looking at a fourth roster spot, and almost guaranteed the Packers will carry four inside linebackers. Usually they have. But if a guy stands out, they could carry five, especially if that guy's a special team standout. So, guys like Thomas, Doughty, Sean Lewis, those guys are all competing for maybe one roster spot. They're going to have to earn it if they want it. But I'm glad the Packers did so and are looking at a guy to bring in, this week. Those were kind of the newsworthy, noteworthy items this week, without seeing a whole lot different on the practice field. If there's one thing I'm looking forward to at minicamp, it's again seeing these injured guys. Can they come back and participate and show progress being made? We talked about it earlier. Clay Matthews, Andrew Corliss, Jonathan Franklin. I'm not worried about these guys. Like Evan said, until they're missing training camp practices, I'm not worried about them. But I do want to see progress being made. I think it would be great if we could see Andrew Corliss participate in minicamp next week, or Jonathan Franklin or Clay Matthews in some sort of role, just to show that, hey, they're healing. They're putting their injuries behind them. It would be a step in the right direction. That's what I'm looking forward to next week at mandatory mini camp next Tuesday and Thursday. I'm not going to be worried if it's not going to happen, but I'd love to see some of these guys who have been sitting out. Chris Harper joined them this past week, had previously been taking part in OTAs in practice. Aaron Rodgers said he tweaked a hamstring. Hopefully it's something minor. And at the very least, it's good that they're getting this month layoff before the start of training camp. That's just another month of R&R, and that they can rest these injuries and get ready for the grind that is training camp. But it's more important that they're healthy than they are now. So they got some time to rest coming up. But that's going to do it for a Friday morning edition of Railbird Central. Enjoy your weekend, folks. Enjoy your Father's Day weekend. Make sure to call your fathers or spend some time with them. Enjoy the awesome sports weekend that is. Right now we've got the U.S. Open going on right now as we speak. The second day of the World Cup gets underway very soon. You've got the Stanley Cup. You've got the NBA championships. You've got the baseball going on in the midst of the season. In addition to NFL OTAs and mini camps, it's a great time of year for sports. And this weekend is just about as good as it gets with all the championships being held. Really cool. College World Series, too. Well, all of these things. Just lots and lots of good sports action, if you're a sports fan, going on in the world right now. So, hey, folks, that'll do it for Friday Morning Edition. On behalf of Jamie Snowden and I'm Brian Caribou, we'll see you later. Stay tuned to all your news needs here at Cheesehead TV all week long. We'll be back again on Monday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. I leave you today with a song called New Country Blues by the Emmett Nershey Band on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.
Job.